What a blessing to be here this morning, to hear what God is doing, what He wants to do, what He yet wants to do. So I just want to worship the Lord in that way here this morning and thank you, thank Him for this opportunity. As I was thinking of the seed that was sown this week, I had to think of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. He talked about the parable of the sower. As we think of all the seeds that God has sown in our hearts and in our young people's lives this week, just thought I would share briefly here on Matthew chapter 13 of the four different heart conditions, or the four soils of our heart. As I was thinking of seed is sown, but seed needs to have fertile ground in order for it to bring forth fruit. So this morning, I thought we could all stand for a minute, and I have a word of prayer. Stretch your legs a little bit. And Lord, as we consider You this morning, we want to give thanks, Lord. We want to thank You, Lord, for the seed of God's Word, for the parable of the sower, how a farmer went forth and he sowed the precious seed. And some brought forth 30, some 60, and some 100. And so as we consider that this morning in our own lives, the seeds that have been sown in our lives, what is the soil of my heart? What is the condition of the soil where the seed lands? Is it fertile this morning? Is it fertile and bearing fruit and able to bear fruit? So we want to thank You, Lord, for this passage in Matthew chapter 13, that You would just speak to us this morning as Your body, as the bride of Christ, regarding this parable that You spoke over 2,000 years ago and how it's still speaking today. Yeah, the circumstances change, but Your Word endures forever. And so we thank You for this time together and pray Your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 13, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, where they had not so much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground. Others fell into good ground and brought forth some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest Thou unto them in parables? And He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Those hidden truths. It is given to us to know the hidden truths, but unto them it is not given. Speaking of the unsaved. Speaking of those who have not yet known Christ. So this morning as I was thinking of sowing seeds, you know, seed can be ever so good. It can be the perfect blend of seed. And I brought some seed here this morning, some grass seed that we can look at. This is good grass seed. But if you take it out and you sow it in this snowy field out here this morning, that seed is not going to bring any fruit. This grass will not grow out in those conditions. The cold and the snow and the wet and the temperatures, it will not grow. And Jesus spoke this parable, the parable of the sower, this morning. And I was just thinking of that. I know that when I was a young man, I was a young boy, probably 7, 8, 9 years old. I don't remember clearly. But one day I had the job of helping one of my uncles go out in the field and to plant corn. And he had this, we had this two-row corn planter. And we were planting a long field of corn. And my job was to sit by the seed. I sat on the seed bags, and when he would come around, I would carry a bag over, and we'd refill these little canisters of seed that was being sown. And he was one of my uncles that liked to daydream, and he liked to sing, and so he began to daydream and sing. And before long, he realized that his canisters were empty, and he was just sowing. He was just sowing nothing. He was just going up and down the field, and he came back, and he stopped, and he said, "The seed is all, and I don't know where it ran out." And so I can still see him today. He was out there, and he was on his knees like this, and he would go down through there, and he would dig a little bit, and he'd look, no seed, and he'd go a little further, and he'd dig, and there was no seed there. And so he wanted me to help him. And so I don't even remember how long this took, but it took some time to go down through there and figure where we lost out, where we ran out of seed. The seed was perfectly good, but, you know, the cares of this life or just forgetfulness, the seed ran out. And so it was something that just, for some reason, just was etched in my mind. As I was thinking of seeds this morning, I thought of some of you here, you know, in Bible school this week, Mark and Aiden and John, they were walking up here behind a pulpit and they were sowing seeds. They were sowing seeds. And did they have fertile ground? As they were going around like this, there was seeds falling. We heard some of that seed that fell this morning. It was coming forth, and the fruit was coming forth. But as they were sowing seeds, Jesus says that there's different kinds of soils that we want to look at here in a little bit. But some of you younger people here probably don't know what this even is, if you're just a young chap here this morning. But when I grew up, and a lot of the older people in here, it was not uncommon to have a 5-acre field of oats and use one of these to scatter the oats. And it would scatter maybe 15 feet each way. And you would do the entire field just walking, maybe two or three people. Maybe two or three people with one of these seeders, sowing the seed. The challenge was, what was the seed, or what was the condition of the soil? What was the condition of the soil? It had all to do with that. And nothing to do, you know, with the seed as much. Because the seed was known to be good. It was known to be fertile. And it was known to bring forth fruit. And that's what the Word of God is. There's no question that the Word of God here that was sown this week in Bible school is perfect. The condition is flawless. The condition is, just a perfection. But it went into different types of hearts. There was four different types of soils that Jesus talked about here in Matthew 13. And so I would like to go through those just real briefly here this morning. The four soils of our hearts. And I would like for each one of us to consider which soil is closest to what I have in my own heart. So as I was thinking of that, the first one is the wayside. In verse 4 it says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them." That wayside, you know, back in Jesus' day, it's not like it is here. When we was on the way to Bern the other night, I saw a strange sight, but we were on 27, and I seen a huge tractor out in the field, and I seen a probably a 20 or 30 foot disc, and they were discing a field, and you don't usually see that in January, but they were discing a field, but I don't believe they had any hopes of planting seed at this time. But anyway, you wouldn't have seen that in Jesus' day. They would have had, probably had a sack like that, and they would spread seed by hand. And there was, you know, footpaths. And that's what this is talking about. The footpath would be packed and very hard. And there was not likely that seed was going to land on that hard ground and that it was going to bring forth fruit. The birds would jump down because, you know, they had like curvy, windy paths, much like in Haiti, I think, would be similar to that, with rocks here and there. And so as we consider the wayside, I'm just going to make a real small picture here and try to illustrate just a little bit of the four soils. Okay, this is the wayside, which another version would say a footpath. It's basically wide enough for a person to walk on that was very much packed and it would not bring fruit. And then the second one is the stony places in verse 5. There was a stony areas. And the stony areas, is my understanding, is that, you know how you see rock and rock coming together, and there's a crack in the rock. And then right below here, there's another line of rock. And as the winds blow, and as the thing, you know, God spreads the ground around, there's dirt comes down in here, maybe a little bit of dirt gathers in here. And there's a little plant will spring up right here. That's a stony place, in what I'm visualizing as a stony place. And then there is the verse 7. It says that there is the seed that fell among thorns. So it's a thorny place. And then over here, this is that good ground. So Jesus was talking about these four different types of ground that that is in this room here this morning. There's four, at least four different types of ground that Jesus illustrated in Matthew chapter 13. And he said that those were all, the reason he spoke in parables to this group of people is because he saw all these different types of ground. So number one, there, the wayside. I'm not going to fill in all the all the things I have on my list here, but just for the sake of time, kind of go through them. The number one is the wayside or the footpath. It basically illustrates no understanding. It says that the seeds fell by the wayside and the fowls came and devoured them up. And then number five, verse five, it says the stony places. Let's go on down on the wayside here. The devil, he snatches away the word or the seed. You know, it doesn't have any time to go into the ground. The soil is not fertile. It's just it's a hard path. It can't take any root before it's just swept away by the wind or the birds. It can't go deep into the soil. It's basically a fruitless life. It could also be a gospel-hardened life. It could be a life that doesn't have any understanding. It may be heard hundreds or if not thousands of messages, and yet they just bounce off, and they choose not to allow it to penetrate the heart. They just continue to kind of brace up and try to shield themselves from this speaking to their heart. So it could be a gospel-hardened, that wayside could be a gospel-hardened heart. And it could be a heart that makes, you know, it looks at the world and it says, boy, that looks exciting. The world looks exciting. It is drawn to the things of the world, the fashion and fads of this world. It can't control its tongue. The tongue is just, it just says vile and things that are ought not be spoken. It's all consumed with music, bad music. It has never surrendered, that wayside heart has never surrendered to the voice of the Spirit of God. It's just on its way to a crisis eternity. And then number two is the stony places. Now these stony places, it says it had not so much earth. So that's what I was illustrating here. You know, there's rock here and here. There might be a 2-inch crack here, but there's just, you know, a little bit of dirt, and then here is more rock. It can't take root and go down. There's no root down here for this thing to go deep with God. There's no root coming down like this here. They're not rooted and grounded. It does say that is in verse 5. It says, some fell upon stony places where they had not so much earth, and forthwith sprung up, because they had no deepness of the earth. The sun, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So those stony places, basically no depth in our Christian experience. We receive the word, but there's no depth. But anyway, verse 3, or number 3, I should say, that says that when persecution comes, persecution and tribulation, they're offended because of the word. I think that was going on to, Jesus goes on there in verse 18, explains this as well, and I wanted to read that here in a bit. But there's the stony places that they're the persecution and tribulation, the trouble or suffering of this life. When that comes, they just kind of fall. They kind of fall away. They kind of falter. It says they are offended in verse 21. Maybe we could just read that. Verse 18, it says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. This is Jesus' explanation of his parable that he just gave. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh a wicked one and catcheth away which was sown in the heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But when he received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he received it. There was a happy heart there. But yet when he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or trouble and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that received the seed into the good ground, that good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100 and some 60 and some 30. So we can see that there's four different types of ground here that Jesus gave this amazing parable. And one of these grounds, one of these soils is my heart. One of these soils will fall into the category of your heart. So the stony places, by and by it says he is offended. He can't forgive. We heard about that this morning. He's bitter. He struggles with rebellion. He has friends who surround him that won't lead him to the bride of Christ, to a life of surrender to the will of God. It's a stony place. There's no root. It's just basically a beautiful beginning, but there's no life behind it. There's no root that comes out. Galatians 6:17 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap." I wanted that thing there. My dad, when he was often told me about the troubles that he faced as a young man. His dad and them moved to Arkansas when he was a young lad, and they had a lot of woodland. They had stumps, and they didn't have a good way to pull these stumps out. They didn't have heavy equipment like we do today. And so he explained to me the process that his dad, he said, often became discouraged by. And that is try to plow a field that has just been cleared with all the root still intact. And so he said that what they would do is they would do the best they can. They would go in there with a saw, like a hand saw, and with an axe, and they would try to clear out most of the roots that were obvious. But then he said the next job was to start a crop. So they would start in this 2 or 3, 4 acre patch. He said they would come along the edge here, and they would poke a hole. They put a piece of corn in. They poke another hole, put a piece of corn in. And that's how they would sow corn, or plant corn, I'm sorry, plant corn in this area. So that was painstaking. That was very painstaking to think of, planting that corn. But you can think of they planted this corn, and then when they reaped that, when it was husking time, there was joy. And then that fallow ground was being worked up, and each year it would go a little better. But they learned, that most of us, I guess in Haiti they would do these things, but most of us here today, we have no clue of the patience that it would take to go out and plant 5 acres of corn with a stick and a kernel in each one. But the seeds that we sow, that's what we're going to reap. That is God's Word. His Word is true. It's a good seed, and it's true. And so when you sow good things, you're going to get good things out of your life, young people. When you were in Bible school this week, those things that you heard and you embraced, you will get good fruit from that. You will get a good harvest from that. But the seed of the world, it'll bring, it says, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the fell among thorns, the third soil. And I thought about that. I was thinking of, there's some brothers here, James there, James and Becky. He could probably tell us a lot more about soils than I can. Thought about trying to bring four soils up here and just kind of illustrate how that the different growth that would come from a good soil with good seed. So my prayer is this morning that the soil of my heart would be fertile, and the soil of your heart would be fertile this morning. But Jesus spoke in parables, and I think it's because for many reasons, but there's mysteries. It says there's mysteries in the Word of God, those hidden truths, and He wants to unlock those mysteries. And I believe that that's why the Bible is the inspired and living Word of God. You can read the same passage 10 times. And every time you can receive another gem or another blessing, another nugget of truth, and see it in a new light. Now the third one is, he fell among thorns. This seed, it fell among thorns. And I was thinking of that. It's just the care of this world. It's worry. Are you taken up with worry? Are you taken up with the worries and cares of this life? The deceitfulness of riches that choke the word. I don't know what that was like exactly, but it seems like there was a good soil there, and then there was also some thorns. And when the seed went into the soil, it started growing, but all of a sudden this thorny stuff came up. And it just took off like a thistle. I picture it like a bull thistle. If you ever seen a bull thistle, those things will get tall. I mean, they get very tall. And they spread. They spread like wild. And as a young man, that was our job in the summer when I was 8, 10 years old, as my grandfather would always tell us. All the grandchildren would have to come and get spades and go out and dig up thistles in the pasture fields because they didn't want them to go to seed. Well, we knew these things had some deep roots in them. I mean, these things, they said it didn't do any good just to chop it off. You could go out there and come in and say, yeah, got them all down. But if you just chopped them off, even with the ground, little was gained. The root was in there, and they were very hard to pull out. That's like the seed of sin. That's like the seed of this world. Or it's like the thorns of sin. It's hard to pull out at times. It takes a repentance. It takes a turning away. So the deceitfulness of riches, it choked the word. So my question this morning, and to myself and all of us, what is choking the word in my life? You know, when something's choked, I mean, we all know what that's like. It's restricted. I mean, it is just, when something is choked off, it's restricted. And it's not going to flow. The Spirit is not going to flow. It chokes. It chokes it off. And you'll get maybe a strain coming through. So what's choking my life this morning? What is it that I could remove? That I could have someone pray with me and help me remove this from my life because it's choking out the Word of God, my time with God. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's not being able to receive admonishment. Romans 15, 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are full of goodness. And I'm convinced of that here this morning, by the way. That you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. But when that ground gets thorny, when the thorns start growing, that admonish part, it chokes it off. It won't happen. It won't happen in the right way. It won't be able to be received. So those thorns have a choking effect in our Christian life. Then in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. So it could be lusts of other things. So it gives it a wide open, what is choking my life this morning? Or do I have perfectly good soil that's being totally fertile? Another point, number six, on that fell among thorns is it's a mistake that we often make that says this world will bring lasting fulfillment. You and I all know people that have went down this road and are on that road that believe that this world, they wouldn't say as much, but that's the road they're on. That this world will bring me lasting fulfillment. And it says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so that good ground, we want to look at that good ground this morning. In closing, I know that God wants to, He wants to fertilize that good ground. And He wants us to bear fruit. Verse 8 says, but others fell in the good ground and brought forth much fruit. I don't know what the 30, the 60, and 100, I don't know how that is, what God is saying there, but I believe it could have something to do with what some of the young people shared on the talents. God gives each one of us a talent. He has a calling for each one of us. And not all of us bring the same forth, the same amount of fruit, because He has a different plan for us. He gave us different talents. But it's all 100%. If we're in Christ, if we are in Christ, there is no measuring. It is all 100% if we are following Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that's the good news this morning. You know, the good ground, it receives the seed of God's Word with joy. It's a yes. It's a amen. It's a hallelujah for the blood. There's an encouragement. When I get to suffer for the name of Christ, I do it with joy. I know the Grandma King passed on here this past week, and we were out there, and since then we had a little video that surfaced of her speaking on the phone with my mother last April. And at the end of her conversation, she said, amen. And that just blessed our souls as we saw that, because we do believe that she had a faith. There was a good ground in her heart that she was filling it with faith. And she was endeavoring to do God's will and His work. Number two, on that good ground, it has a teachable spirit. It has a teachable and a faith-filled heart. It embraces what sound doctrine. It embraces sound teaching. And it just wants to go forward. Being taught in all the Word of God. Grew as Jesus did. Grew in stature and grew in, you know, just moving forward. As the young people testified this morning, that they heard the good word. They heard the good seed that it was sown this week. It was being sown. And it was going into the heart. And they were receiving it. Now it's your turn to walk it out. To live it out. Number three, on the good ground, the Holy Spirit has freedom. And it is invited to come and give understanding. You know, when we have that good ground, it opens up. It brings freedom. It brings understanding. It's not like this wayside over here. This wayside path. The reason there's no understanding is because there's no openness. There's no openness of the soil. It won't allow the word. It won't allow those in our lives to speak into our lives. It's just closed. It's hard. Gospel hardened. Galatians talks about liberty. Number four, on that good ground, it says his liberty causes him to serve his brother in love. Serving one another in love. That good ground brings that liberty to serve one another in love. Galatians 5:13. Number five, he doesn't hold any part of his life back. There's a full surrender, as we heard this morning. And then number six, you know, that talks about that fruit that's coming out of the life. That fruit that's coming out of the life. And then when you have that good ground and that fruit's coming out of your life, as you're walking around, you have joy. Joy is coming out, whether you're on a telephone or whether you're on the road passing another vehicle. That joy is coming out of your heart. That peace, that long suffering, that time that just having the ability to suffer a long time with somebody. That gentleness is coming out. Those seeds are going out. That goodness. Just being good. Lovers of those that are good, it says. And faith. When you face a deep trial, all of a sudden someone will say something and you can just sense it's faith-filled. It's that dire situation, that deep situation that everybody is concerned about, all of a sudden there's faith comes out. That faith comes out and just speaks a word. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit that will come out in that good ground. And so I want to say that as you walk this earth this next week, as you go to and fro, wherever God leads you, you're going to be sowing seed. It's not if, it's you will be sowing something, whether it's good or whether it's bad. The scripture says that if whatever you sow, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. And I am rejoicing this morning that the young people here have the opportunity to hear what they heard this week. Your ears are blessed. And many of us this morning, we sowed seeds of sin. We sowed the seed of the world in our growing at your age. And it has scars that we still carry today. And so you can rejoice this morning that you don't have to go that path. You don't need to deal with those scars in your later on in life, but you can just go on from there. You can go forward. You can go further. You can rejoice in your Creator in the days of your youth. So this morning, there's four. Jesus gave this parable of the wayside, which is the footpath, that hardened path. He gave the place of the stony ground, which has no root. It has a lot of joy at the beginning, but it just fizzles. Then he gave this parable of that fell among thorns. And I think that's weeds. That's these bole thistles that come up and smother and just choke you out. So we need to get the spade out sometime and just deal with any of those things and thorns and thistles that are choking our Christian life. And then we can have that good ground. We can have that good ground where we can yield that fruit. And as we walk this earth, that seed will just come out. And the seed, we don't have to worry about what it will do, because God, He's taken care of all that. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And that seed is, we're going to let that to Him. He can multiply those loaves and fishes and that seed and make it 100-fold. So God bless you all.